Jesus is being glorified. He's appearing to many people, especially many Muslims. Places you and I can't reach, he is. God is very good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Everybody's going through it. But thank God we're going through it. And when we complete that part, you'll go through something else. Then when you complete that, you'll go through another thing. It's a go-through all the way home. But in all of the go-throughs, we can rest. Amen? We can rest. We rest in him, not in ourselves. We rest in him. Romans 2, verse 1. Hallelujah. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Sounds like the Democratic Party. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what? Repentance. And the purpose of repentance is to activate the blood. Why? Because the blood of Jesus must be activated so the Spirit has access to you. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are what? Treasuring up for yourself wrath in a day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continue in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation, anguish, and every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness between themselves and their thoughts, excusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. This is so powerful. What's he talking about? A pure conscience. He's talking about a pure conscience. He says here, bearing, in other words, who show work in the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Their conscience bearing witness. What is your conscience? It's the mental attitude of your heart. It is the mental attitude of your heart. It's unlimited access of God. God has unlimited access to your conscience until you choose to cut it off. So what is your conscience? It's the mental attitude of your heart. Your conscience bearing witness of the heart. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. As I urge you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables, endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a what? Pure heart and from a what? Good conscience and from sincere faith. So they run together. From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there are any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So we see here the love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So this is a pure conscience. Remember, your conscience is the mental attitude of your heart. And God speaks through your conscience. Verse 18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a what? Good conscience. So think about this. Some people have defiled their conscience, either with unforgiveness, offense, whatever. That's where it happens, right there. Because it is the attitude of their heart. They don't win in warfare. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Interesting. Many reject becoming shipwrecked. Are you still holding on to bitterness, unforgiveness, offense, criticism, so forth? Those things interfere and defile the conscience. Titus 1, verse 10, please. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be of sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Their mind and conscience are defiled. It's not pure. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, please. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times or latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, which are unclean spirits, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. That means it's been cut off. They've cut it, rejecting the voice of God or any conviction at all. They become hardened, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. This is so powerful because it's happening right now globally. We are in the latter days. People have seared conscience, completely blocking conviction and remorse and unable to repent. because of the attitude of their heart. It is a mental attitude of their heart. It's how they think. It's how they perceive things. Did you ever get around someone that twists everything? Their conscience is defiled. And this is a ploy of the enemy. What's his purpose? It's to prevent us from receiving anything from God. You know, when we get home, we're going to probably hear, well, Lord, I don't know why this, he said he did it. He said he mailed those packages to us. Special Express. But we didn't get them. We didn't get in position to take them. And the enemy came and stole them. So many things we're going to find that God released to us that we allowed the enemy to take before we got it. Being distracted. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not what? Lose heart. You know, many people lose heart. And when you lose heart, you become downcast. You become oppressed. You become discouraged. This is where the enemy loves to get people. Because he knows he can get them in place and keep pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. Till a person's conscience becomes defiled. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame. In other words, repented. Not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So if you have a pure conscience, others will see it. Why? Because it will be the attitude of your heart. You know, joyful heart is what? Good medicine. Hey, even when you don't feel good, you can still stay joyful. Amen? Verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are what? Perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So again, the enemy wants to defile the conscience so it becomes seared and blocks everything. Conviction. Every one of us has been in that state at some time. Till Christ knocked us off the horse. Hallelujah. We're commending ourselves to every man's conscience with a pure conscience. John chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. And he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This, they said, testing him, that he might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground in his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their what? Conscience. Well, so they didn't have a seared conscience, did they? Why? Because there was conviction. Went one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and a woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Convicted conscience. Acts 24, verse 10. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may assertion that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city. Nor can they prove the things of which they have now accused me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without what? Offense. Why? Offense will what? Defile the conscience. Toward God and men. Now after many years I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with a tumult. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me. Or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council. Unless it is for this one statement which I cried out standing among them concerning the resurrection of the dead, I am being judged by you this day." Hallelujah. So again, don't let your offense contaminate or defile your conscience. See, when your conscience becomes defiled, it doesn't mean it's seared. It's contaminated. And when it becomes contaminated, it's hard to receive from God. Because remember, it is the attitude, the mental attitude of your heart. And one thing you don't want is confusion. Because you will have a confused conscience. And remember, what's the first thing the devil loves to come and steal? Your identity. When your conscience is unstable, your identity will be unstable. Romans 9, verse 1. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, the connector, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for many brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. Conscience bearing witness in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because there is fellowship in the Holy Spirit through your conscience. Hebrews 9, in verse 6. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ as high priest of God, of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle made not with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So what cleanses your conscience? Repentance. Activating the blood. The blood of Christ cleanses your conscience. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's why assembling together is so vitally important. Corporate worship is essential. So we want to draw near with a pure heart and a pure conscience. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 13. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience or a pure conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. But it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing than for doing evil. Maintaining a good conscience or a pure conscience, others will see it. In fact, they'll be convicted that you do not react to the things according to the world, but you respond according to the things of heaven. And I'm going to close at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verse 1 through 6. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. For this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, and who seek your face. And I'm telling you, get ready to receive. It hasn't been released yet. Little trinkles here and there, but let me tell you, what we're seeing is the pushback and a removal of evil so God can release the hidden treasures that have been stored up for us so the enemy can't steal if he's out of the way. And this is what we're waiting on right now. I know sometimes it's tough to wait, but, you know, God's given us endurance. He's sustaining us. But I'm telling you, the locks of the treasures that have been held back for us have been broken. And the doors of these treasures will be open and released. But again, God is still pushing back evil and removing them so they cannot steal from us. Does everybody understand that? So he's preparing us, what? With a pure conscience. He's preparing us with all the things that he's been speaking to us so we can stay in position to receive. Because the enemy easily distracts us. We're easily offended. We're easily distracted by things. And idols of the heart have to be broke. We have to loose ourselves as being an idol. We have to loose our children as idols, our families, our spouses. There can be no idols in our life. You must be ready to go home at any moment. Does everybody understand that? When you are ready to go home at any moment, you're in a good position. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Master. You are awesome, and you are mighty, and you are true. And we thank you for your word that doesn't return void. So have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, and let your grace abound, and keep us in a place with a pure conscience so that we may serve you and honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.